Welcome again, everybody, to Bethel Baptist Churches. We have the evening service. We're going to open up with our normal hymn for this evening. We're going to sing number 255, Blessed Assurance. We'll go ahead and follow what Pastor's been doing, sing number one and number two, 255. Praise you all day long. And this has been another day where we've praised you in the morning, we praised you in the afternoon, and now we're going to praise you in the evening. And Lord, we rejoice in you, knowing that you are the only one that is worthy of praise and honor and glory. You are the only one who is the Savior of our souls to give us eternal life, to redeem us, a people unto yourself, and to give us a life dedicated and focused upon our Lord, our Savior, and our God. I rejoice this day, that Lord, that we can gather together and praise your holy name, and that you have called the brethren together and to fill our hearts with your Spirit, that we may be of one accord. I pray for this evening, as your word goes out, that it would transform the lives of your people, that we would walk in holiness and in righteousness, that we would walk in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What would you guys like to hear us sing? Yes, Chris. 256. And I've been, it's been explained to me that this was Ed Vitola's favorite. That was his song. 256, it is well with my soul. Lessons on how to direct. My son had given it to me. As a director, I tell them, I move my hands until the music stops, and I'm done. Other than that, hey, what else would you guys like to hear? Bernie!
How about 344?
344. Didn't you get one of your music teachers with a shirt that had that on there? Something to that effect? Mr. Bruce? 344, I must tell Jesus, he's the only one that we can. Same number, left, right, and inside out. 222. There is a fountain. blessing. Yes, Andrew.
Number one.
Think I can find that. All right. Number one, oh, worship the King. Now, who is the King that we're to worship?
Do this a couple times. Just for the fun.
Jesus Christ. He is the immortal King. No. That on Wednesday when we sit talk and pray for Lewis, it wasn't his knee that he blew out. He got a bacterial infection in his calf. And so his calf sort of went and expanded and incredibly painful. And so they took him to the emergency and diagnosed a thing called cellulitis. And he just has to keep it up for a week, and we'll pray that that goes. So he called me up after the service and says, I heard what you said. I just started laughing. So, there's some miscommunication. So we keep going. What would you like to sing? Anthony.
Number three.
Sing praise to God who reigns above. Amen. Speaking of Wednesday, on Wednesday when we had that interesting song that we weren't sure exactly how to sing, Pastor sent me an email that night and said, boy, I got a laugh out of that one. So, but the Lord bless us to have Darlene here and Trish so we could get the music right and the words right. And I think we sort of got it figured out there. He bless us. So, Trish.
496.
Victory in Jesus. Can you play that one? Okay.
Thank you.
230. Save. Now, before this service started, I saw time going by real fast. The clock was going around and around and around. Why it adjusted itself to the wrong time, I don't know. That's one of those atomic clocks. Can't seem to quite handle this change of daylight savings. I know a lot of people couldn't, but 236, Amazing Grace. Eternity, no. never run out of time to praise God, nor will we run out of praises for God, because He is praiseworthy. What else would you guys like to sing this evening? Okay, let's see.
About 314.
I am thine, O Lord. Sounds good. Would you guys like to sing? Yes, Bernie.
257.
Thank you.
testify. Glorious things of thee are spoken, and that they are. You guys could be with us again this evening. It's such joy to see the people of God. Grace greater than our sin, and that it is. But we do have Chris, so I'm sure he'll do a wonderful job.
Let's all pray together. Father God, we praise your glorious name, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank you that you have gathered us here, Lord God. Lord, you have so many wonderful souls here, Lord. I just ask that you just speak to them where they are, Lord God, and use me, Lord God. I pray that your word would just come alive. I pray that you would reach in our hearts and make us who you want us to be, Lord God Almighty, so that we can be a blessing to you. And Lord God Almighty, that we may reach the world that you have placed us in for a purpose, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that your love is here, Lord God, that your presence is here. We're gathered in your name, Lord God. And we thank you for the time that you give us together, Lord God. And please bless our day in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 30. And that's in page 1151. Now, John the Baptist is speaking here, and he says one line here that is one of the most amazing scriptures I have ever read. And it simply says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that's what it says. Right there is something so huge. I could preach on it for 2 hours, but I'm only going to do it for about a half an hour. Now, it says that we need to decrease, and God needs to increase within us. Now, for the natural person, people say, well, why should I consider God? What is in it for me? Right? Remember what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should consider him? Who is Jehovah that I should consider this God? Well, in the words of Dr. S.M. Lockridge, he is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is the superlative of all excellence. He is the sum of human greatness. He is the source of divine grace. His name is the only one able to save, and his blood is the only power able to cleanse. His ear is open to the sinner's call. His hand is quick to lift the fallen soul. He's the eternal lover of us all, every one, and you can trust him. He supplies mercy for the struggling soul. He sustains the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes with the wounded and the broken. He strengthens the weak and the weary. He guards and he guides the wanderer. He heals the sick and cleanses the leper. He delivers the captive and defends the helpless. And he binds up the brokenhearted. He's for you, and you can trust him. Jesus is the key to all knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance, and he's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness, the gateway to glory. And yes, you can trust him. Jesus is enough. He's the all-sufficient King. He's the King of the Jews, the King of Israel, the King of righteousness, the King of the ages, King of heaven, King of glory, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And yes, again, you can trust him. And rejoice in this, my friend. He is a sovereign King. There is no God to measure his limitless love. There is no barrier to block his blessings outpoured. He is enduringly strong, and he is entirely supreme. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally faithful. He is imperially merciful. He is Jesus, God's Son, and you can trust him. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't fault him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't conquer him, and the grave couldn't hold him. My friends, he's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's the God of the future and the God of the past. And we rise to speak his name again and again. Jesus, Jesus, he is Jesus. He is for us, and we can trust him. I wish I could more accurately describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Amen? Now, when I hear that God wants to increase in me, that is who is going to be increasing in me. I don't think anyone, I mean, in this room, ever feels they could live up to something like that. Like I said, he is the centerpiece. He is the absolute pinnacle of greatness. And God wants to be in our lives. He wants us, you know, as meager as we are, as we sang in Amazing Grace, you know, what a wretch, you know, we are. You know, when you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're nothing. We're just absolutely pitiful in comparison. And God in his greatness wants to increase within us. Let's go to another biblical verse that'll shed a little bit of light on this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and that is in page 1279. Praise him. All right, it says, "For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now look at this. It is God's good pleasure to enter into your life, as wretched as we are, as imperfect as we are. It is him who wants to do these things. He wants to make us want to do good. He wants us to have that mind of Christ, where we want to be that blessing that he is. He wants us to be holy just as He is holy. Now let's look a little bit further. It says in the verse number 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now look at this, what it's saying. When God comes into our life and allows us to start to do incredible works, incredible, incredible things, when we begin to worship and know this God, look at this, look what it says. We're supposed to do this without going, "Oh, I can't believe this glorious God wants me to go and do these things," or "I can't believe this incredible God wants me to know more about Him." That should be absolutely not even in the picture. You know, our Christian service should be an absolute joy. We should be absolutely ecstatic about what God has called us to do. And when we do this, the dividing line comes. We are like shining lights in the world. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we are part of a crooked and perverse nation. And how can we know that? Compare the Lord Jesus Christ with our culture, with the individuals that we raise up on high. Can any of these persons match the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then why should we raise that person up so high? The person who we should raise up so high is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. There can be no comparison. We have the examples of the apostles. We have an incredible example. In fact, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, which is in page 1248. So Christ is the ultimate example, but look at what is said here. It says in chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We got some heroes here. We got some examples. You know, the people who we lift up in our lives, the people who we should try to be more like, the people who we should take as our examples as far as persons, need to be those who are of faith. It needs to be the people who are of God. You know, we need to be filling ourselves completely with God. We need to decrease the quality in us that makes us want to lift up idols of people who are ungodly. And we need to start lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and start to learn about the godly men who we can imitate because they imitated Jesus Christ. We can study their lives. We can become students of the life of Paul and the life of Peter. We can look at these people and just, you know, marvel and just look and just say, "That's how I need to be living my life. I need to do what those people were doing." That's what an example is. Amen? All right. Now, if we go a little bit further into this, we realize that we cannot do this on our own. Jesus Christ needs to give this to us. Christ gave us the gift of salvation. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something that you can purchase. It's nothing, absolutely nothing like that. Jesus Christ needs to choose you and needs to bring you by His Spirit so that you can know Him. But once you know Him, you need to understand how incredible it is that you know Him. Once we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we then have purpose. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. That's in page 979. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And it says this. If you go a little bit further, it says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Once we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we become strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we know Jesus Christ, we need to be increasing in Him and thereby growing stronger and stronger and stronger in Him. And what is one of the natural results of this? Great exploits. Good works. There's a change in our life that is evident. Bless you. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, and that's in page 1041. In verse 14 it says this, "You are the light of the world." When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to start doing exploits. We're going to start shining forth. We're going to start activating our faith. And we're going to impact the world that we live in. If we're not doing this, we really don't know our God. We really need to activate this because the people who know their God are going to be strong. When we lose time with God, when we are weak in His Word, we're not strong. We need to grow strong. And God now calls us to be lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is one of the things that God has made us for. He wants us, of course, He wants that relationship with us. He wants to love us. And He wants us to grow strong. But He also wants us to impact the world that we are in. This is being increasing in God. This is the increase of God in our lives. Is continually getting strong and doing good works. It is part of the reason why God has made us. In In Ephesians chapter 2, which is in page 1273, and in verse 10, this is revealed. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has made us for these good works. God has made us and sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could be strong within Him. And these are ordained before the foundation of the world, these things that we're going to do together. So my encouragement for all of us who are here together right now is we are here in the place where God has designated that we are to be perfected, that we are to grow, that we are to fellowship with one another. This is a place for us to grow strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to go and we need to do. This is the increase of God in our lives, is that we have bowels of compassion that we need to express. We need to express compassion for the world around us. As we increase in God, the more we will want to do this. The more we know our God, the more we will want to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be enough to just know, but we need to start doing with our lives. God has given every single one of us gifts in order to be able to do this. The focus of our lives really needs to be on serving the Lord Jesus Christ with the gifts that He's given us. Every single one of us has a different gift. My gift is evangelism. Pastor Thomason has an incredible gift for teaching. You know, and every single person here has, you know, singing for Trish, for example, and a piano playing for you. And who knows what other gifts that you have. But the whole purpose is the activation of it. The more that we do our own thing, the less we know God. The less that we are increasing in Him. The less that we are able to continue in this increase. It says in the Bible, in the book of James, let's go and go there. James chapter 1, verse 17. Which is in page 1316. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In our own quest to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can learn and we can gain understanding, but it's activating it that really allows us to know our God in a dynamic way. And when we do not activate it in a dynamic way, which is actions with faith, life in God can be boring because it's not life in God. We need to increase in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we know indeed how indescribable He is, how unspeakable is His joy. That's the only way we can do it, is to have our faith mixed with works. Then we understand the indescribable God. We understand the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is so incredible that there is nothing else in this world that can compare to Him once we know Him. That is my encouragement for you guys. We are in an incredible time right now in our church. We are we have 1,000 Bibles that we have just received. And this is going to be something that we can impact the world that we are in. You know, if we all get on fire for God, we could set the whole town on fire. You know, but I know some people, you know, and sometimes I get afraid too, that, you know, when you start doing incredible works, there's a lot of responsibility in that. You know, then you start having, you know, to care for more persons. You start having more contacts on your cell phone and more people calling you, and, you know, more people to teach and more things to do. You know, but God has made us for these good works. You know, He's made us to increase. He says, He goes faith to faith and glory to glory. We're supposed to continue in these things. You know, right now, there's a part of ourselves that doesn't want to do that. We want to stay comfortable. We want to be in that comfort zone. But that's us. That's the part of you that needs to decrease. That's the part of you that you need to break, and you need it out of your life. Pray to God for Him to get that out of you. Pray for Him to convict you. Pray for Him to bring you out of that comfort. Because it's keeping you from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ even more. It's keeping you from doing even greater things for God. It says that we're doing these things so that people will glorify our Father who is in heaven. These works bring glory to God and make other people glorify God. Make them want to do more so that they will reach more people, and then they can reach more people, and then they can reach more people. So we have Timothys going out making Timothys, and those Timothys are going and making more. And it all has to start with just one fire. You are that fire. You are that fire. You are that fire. Set yourself on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and start to impact the world. Go like a fire and just start going all over the place. Do the will of the Lord. Be prepared. Go and rebuke those who are in the wrong, not thinking so greatly of yourself, but thinking that indeed these people need the truth. You know, we've been able to kick up the evangelism program here. We have tons of Bible tracts. And God knows that we have tons of Bible tracts. We have Bibles now, 1,000 of them. God knows we have 1,000 Bibles here. And He wants us to reach the world with Him. You know, God knows what we're doing in this church. When you leave this place and you take some tracts with you, when you take some Bibles with you, God knows that you have them. When you have it in your car, when you have it in your pocket while you're out socializing or just doing your business, God knows that you have it on you, and He knows the people who need to hear His word. He knows the people who are really looking for God. And if you are available to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will use you. But are you afraid to be a fire? Are you afraid to impact the world? I get a little bit afraid, and that's the part of me that needs to decrease. That's the part of every single one in this church. We all need to decrease in that way. We need to start not recognizing ourselves and start recognizing more Jesus Christ in us and in each other. You know, when I see Greg next year, I want to know so much more about Jesus Christ than to know so much more about the human. You know, the part of him that's Greg and the part of me that's Chris. I want him and I want me to know more about Jesus Christ because of one another, not be more familiar with one another. And I think every single person in this entire church can work together so that we're all like that. We all get to know Jesus Christ that much more because we're all working with Jesus Christ. And God is increasing in us. to the point where we're just absolutely in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are flowing in the gifts that God has given us, and we are just continually increasing in our faith, and we're going glory to glory and faith to faith. That is a wonderful, beautiful dream, and it requires faith to believe in it. But it can happen. I think we're right on the threshold of that. I think we're ready to go out and get active. I think we're absolutely ready for this. God sees the tools that we have available. We have people here. I mean, you guys know the Bible very well. And God can use what you know. And whatever you don't know, God's going to increase you in that. That's why we're here. We're here to be perfected. We're here to be edified. We're here to grow spiritually. So where we lack is where we need. So let's look to Jesus Christ. Let's acknowledge where we are ourselves, but where Christ needs to be. Every single person in this room is in that situation. John the Baptist, you know, Christ called him the greatest man born of woman. And he is the one who said this, that he needs to decrease. And you saw how on fire that guy was. That guy was incredible. I'd love to be like that guy. You know, it all comes down to that, though. We need to get out of that comfort zone. We need to stop relying on ourselves to do the work of God and start relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Every word that we speak that's of faith, that's a perfect, that's like, you know, like it says, apples of gold and frames of silver. That's something that's godly. That's not something that I just manufacture myself. A word in due season that you can speak to someone has to come from God. If you haven't broken that part of yourself where you can receive a word from God and go ahead and tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ, I mean, how else can that be done? No other way than to decrease and increase in Jesus Christ. So let's all look at where our church is right now. We have an awesome opportunity to really be impactors of this world, to be history makers. We really can be. We really can be. And it all rests in us decreasing, praying, reading more of the Word. Every time that you read the Word of God, you're increasing in Jesus Christ. And God uses that. God uses the treasury that's in you. There's no work of faith that you do that is useless. It's all good. It's all profitable unto you. So let's encourage one another. Let's start communicating with one another ways that we can start to do this. Let's start communicating exhortation. Let's start, you know, encouraging one another to start to, you know, bring friends and to talk to strangers. Let's have Bibles in our car so that when we meet someone and we get to know them a little bit, or we realize that they have a need, we get them the Word of God. We're open and available. We take away that safety that we have when we live our own private little lives. Let's be open. Let's be people who are faithful. We need to be people who are found to be faithful. Let's be open and available so that God can use us. And then we'll be living a dream. We'll see God's goodness show up like we have never seen before. And we all just need to be active with one with another. Maybe it'll start with one person. Maybe it'll start with two. But let's all encourage one another. Let's continue in this. Before you leave today, I would encourage you to go pick up a couple of Bible tracts. We have a large variety of them. And just when you go out and you do something, go in and have it with you. And see what God does. Because God knows that you have it. When we start getting these Bibles, see if there are ways that God can use you to get that to people. When you are in any situation where you can provide, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and see if he gives you the go. See if he gives you that spiritual nudge. Be open to that. And we will have a church that's on fire for God. And he'll give us more. We'll have more to do, but he'll give us the faith and we'll have more of Jesus Christ so we'll be able to handle it. That's a dream. And I think we can accomplish it all because we have this indescribable God, so great and so marvelous. He'll give us absolutely everything we need to do it. We have an awesome staff here. We are able to do all these things. We are able to totally reach Morgan Hill. We are totally able to reach the surrounding area. But we got to be decreasing in our own selves. Decreasing in what we think God can do through us. And let God show us what He can do for us. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much, Lord, that You, Lord God, as Your Word says in Ephesians 3:20, that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above, Lord God, what we can think or ask, Lord God. It hasn't even entered into our heart, Lord God, the things that You can do, Lord God. You are so unsearchable, Lord God Almighty. You can do incredible, incredible things, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that You would start to enter into every single one of us, Father God Almighty, and allow us to start being incredible Christians, Lord God Almighty, to be incredible sons and daughters, Father God. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that You would just grab a hold of our heart, Lord God Almighty. Just start to use us, Lord God. Start to convict us, Lord God Almighty, that we know that we need to decrease, Lord God, that we need more of You. And You're an incredible God, so we need to be incredible like You, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we need to start to increase, Lord. We need to start to be more faithful, Father God Almighty, because that's Your plan. Your plan is just to go up and up and up and up, Lord God Almighty. You want us, Lord God Almighty, to increase. You don't want us to be in a stable position. You don't want us monotonous, Lord God. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that You would put it into us, Father God Almighty, that we need to go and we need to do. Lord, let us stop relying on our own understanding and start going forth and doing incredible things, Lord, because of what You will give us to do, Lord God, because of Your guidance, Lord God, because of You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank You, Lord God Almighty, for the good works that You have already set for us before the foundation of the world, the good works that You have made for us to do. They're in our future, Lord God. They're coming. Lord, just prepare us for it. Let us learn from our mistakes, Lord God, and let us go and be strong in You for Your glory, that the world may glorify You, Lord God Almighty, that our fellow brothers and sisters may glorify You for what You do through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you all for being here, and good night for those on the internet, and thanks.